Morning, everyone. The availability of almost any kind of media that has ever been created is so prevalent today. You want to read a book? You can get on a Kindle, and almost every single book that's ever been printed is somewhere immediately at your fingertips. You want to look up a fact? You can get on the internet, and if you're really careful where you search, you might come up with true facts. You might also come up with absolute nonsense, but that's the internet for you. What I find most amazing, when I explain to my children that when we were kids, cartoons came on Saturday mornings. And if you missed the Saturday morning cartoons, there was like an hour after school every day. If you hit just the right time frame, you could watch a cartoon or two. Otherwise, nothing. Whereas now my kids can watch 3 seasons of Bluey in a single sitting if they want to, every single day of the week. It's just kind of amazing what is available. I, for myself, love the fact that I can watch documentaries. I am a big fan of documentaries. My wife and I are watching a documentary series right now called Life in the Blue Zones. I don't know if you've seen this one before. It is a researcher who spent 20 years investigating communities around our world in which people regularly live to be in their hundreds, and asking the question, what is it these people are doing that makes them so special? And why is it that they outlive the rest of us? Now, some of the things that they've discovered, not so surprising. Almost all of these locations fall in a section of the planet where it is always warm and pleasant. So if it's not 20 degrees below zero, 6 inches of snow on the ground, you might have people who live a little longer. I guess that makes sense. All of these places are places where people have access to very healthy diets, where they eat the sorts of foods that we're told that humans are supposed to eat. I mean, they don't, any of them have McDonald's. So that probably is definitely putting a few years on each and every one of their lives. And these are things you would expect. Each of the communities that they've investigated, not intentionally necessarily so, but just as a function of who they are, they get a lot of exercise. My favorite was that they had found that there are these villages in Sardinia where men and women alike regularly live to be 100 or more. It happens that these villages are built on very steep hills. And so when you walk anywhere, you're guaranteed to be walking up and down and up and down flights of steps. And they said, people don't even realize that they're getting tons of great cardio exercise. They're just walking over to the neighbor's house, which is 100 foot straight up that hill. I've enjoyed watching it, but I've enjoyed the fact that there are some things that is confirmed that as a person of faith I already knew. All of the communities that they've investigated are communities of faith, people who worship regularly. All of the communities that they've investigated are places where people come together as friends and communities, and they gather together with their friends and communities on a regular basis. One of the discoveries this study has made, and I don't find this surprising at all, is that people who suffer regularly from being lonely live on the average 15 years less than the average lifespan. Loneliness is quite literally a horrible killer. That part was not surprising either. I've seen it over and over and over again in my life and in my career. We need each other. But one of the things that I found the most fascinating about this is that as they have investigated these various communities where people live to be in their 90s, in their hundreds, most of these communities have no concept of retirement. The idea is that there's never a point in your life where you cease to be productive. That everyone has a purpose. Everyone has a reason. Now, maybe you're not working the same job you were working, but one way or another, you continue to stay active and have a reason every single day that you get out of bed. Maybe you are a volunteer in your church. Maybe you simply just love to get out and garden in your backyard. Everyone has a purpose for their being. That one, I think, is something that cannot be overstated. Have purpose. God created humanity. God created humanity, and when he created humanity, the first thing he began to say to Adam and Eve was, I have jobs that I need you to fulfill, tasks that I need you to do. The Garden of Eden was not a place that did not have work. In fact, the book of Genesis goes out of its way to say that there was a difference between the work that was done in the Garden of Eden and the toil that happened outside of the Garden of Eden. That within the Garden of Eden, humanity had work, and we did work, but the work brought us joy and fulfillment and pleasure and happiness. As we left the Garden of Eden and came out into the world, we still had to do work. It just came with frustration and difficulty and struggle and pain. But it wasn't as though in one place we did nothing and in the next place we did everything. Humanity has been assigned work, tasks, purpose, as long as there has been humanity. And without work and purpose and task, one of the things the Blue Zone study says is we perish. A human has to have a reason to be. And for this reason, it's not surprising that when Jesus began his ministry, the first thing he did was he began summoning to him people who would take the task of ministry on with him. He began bringing into his circle disciples, people that he could assign work to give them a purpose, not just any purpose, but a higher purpose, to see themselves connected to something far more valuable, far more important, to be a part of a mission that not only will change their lives, but change the entire world around them, and to know and to see themselves as an integral part of what he is doing. Jesus teaches them, leads them, guides them, directs them, sends them even later in the Gospels. He will send the disciples out two by two to take on the work that he's been doing. Purpose is what God gives us. It's sometimes in conflict with the purpose of the rest of the world. It was interesting, one of the things that Blue Zone study discovered was that one of the things that makes a person live longer and be happier is if you take a weekly Sabbath. Crazy idea. Somebody should have thought of that beforehand. I'm pretty sure we've been talking about it for about 6,000 years, but now the scientists agree. Take a day off every week. It's not about being purposeless. It's actually about purposefully following what it is that God has taught us to do. To have a purpose and to understand your role in it is not an easy thing for us humans. Jesus calls the disciples. And by the way, I've probably said this before, so forgive me if I do. The Gospel of Mark was written to be quick. Everything in the Gospel of Mark happens immediately. He loves the word immediately. It's throughout the entirety of the Gospel of Mark. Nobody ever leisurely goes about anything. And so when Jesus comes to call the disciples, it happens immediately. He comes to them while they are at their work. They're at the jobs that they have. And he says, come and follow me. And it says, and immediately they got up out of the boats and came and followed him. It makes it almost sound as though this stranger just walked up to the boat and said, I've got a job offer for you. I'd love for you to come and work for me. And they said, we don't care what the job is. We're coming. That's not exactly what happened. Because if you read the rest of the Gospels, you realize that Jesus had already begun speaking to these people before he called them. He already knows Andrew. He already knows Simon. He already knows these people because he's been preaching and teaching in and around Galilee. And if you were here for the sermon last week, you know that Andrew was already starting to say to folks, I think this Jesus guy's got something. We should come and listen to him. I think he might be the Messiah. So Jesus comes to these people whom he's been speaking to about the gospel already, and then he makes it final. He says, come and follow me. Be my disciples. Do what I do. Preach what I preach. Teach what I teach. Reach out the way I reach out. You have been fishermen. Now I make you fishers of men. I'm going to take you out into the world in order that you might bring into the kingdom of God others who hear the gospel and respond. In all likelihood, unless you have a very remarkable and supernatural experience, which I welcome you to talk about, we're not going to physically encounter Jesus who says to any of us, come and follow me, I want you to be my disciple. Now, if you have a mystical experience like that, come and talk to me because I will be fascinated to hear about it. Congratulations to you. It doesn't happen to the rest of us. The rest of us have to figure out how God is calling us to ministry. We have to figure out where God is calling us to use our skills and our gifts. We have to listen carefully for the voice of God. Sometimes it whispers. Sometimes it roars. And I will say that there are times that I find it easier to listen to and obey the voice of God when he whispers than when he roars. Because when God makes something so absolutely evident that I must go and do it, sometimes I usually understand it's going to be a big thing God is asking me to do. But I'm never sorry when I follow. I'm never anything other than uplifted, strengthened, encouraged, filled with joy. I'm never anything but those things when I listen and I follow. Because purpose is what we need as people, as humans. We need purpose, but God gives us a purpose beyond ourselves. It's a purpose beyond making money or having a house or raising our kids. Those are all great purposes. God gives us something far greater. He gives us ministry. One of the hallmarks of the Reformation that Martin Luther proposed was that we tear down a wall of division between the priests and the laity. The understanding at that point in Martin Luther's time had been there are priests and they talk to God. They intercede with God on behalf of their congregation. The priests do the ministry. The priests, in fact, in many settings, were the only ones who were even allowed to take communion. There was this wall, and it wasn't even a metaphorical wall. If you'd have been in a Roman Catholic church in that time, there would have been a physical barrier right where I'm standing that would have walled off the section of the sanctuary from the chancel area so that you physically could not pass through and see the altar except through sort of a grate work on the windows of the wall. And you would watch the priest and the monks and the nuns take communion on a Sunday morning, and you would see them behind the wall, behind the screen. But there would be a clear division. This is the world of those who do ministry. This is the world of those to whom ministry is done. Martin Luther looked at the scriptures and said, there is no justification for this. There is no special category or class of human who under Christ has some unique connection to God that is superior. There is no human being who has not been saved by the grace of Christ. And there is no human being who can say, I by my own virtue are better than my fellow human beings. There is no person upon whom the Holy Spirit is not granted and gifted through the gift of communion and baptism. There is not a one of us who does not have the opportunity, the access, the right, and the privilege to speak directly to and be spoken back to directly by God. Martin Luther says, we are a priesthood of all believers. That means that each and every one of us are called by God just the same way that Jesus called the disciples. There is not a single one of us that has not been called to engage in and be a part of this incredible community of faith. We simply have to look and search and seek and listen and say, what has God called me to do in my ministry? I have it easier than you. And I've always said that. I've always said, as a professional clergyman, it is easier for me than it is for my lady. Because I know what my job is. I have a job description. The church writes out my job description. I know what my job is. I don't ever have to say to myself on any given morning, I wonder if I should preach next Sunday. No, I'm going to preach next Sunday. Unless I'm deathly ill, I'm going to preach next Sunday. I never have to say to myself, I wonder if I'm going to pray with people this week. Of course I'm going to pray with people this week. I never have to say, I wonder if I'm going to prepare a study for someone. Of course I'm going to prepare a study for someone. That's my job. I know it's written down on a piece of paper. But what is the ministry of everyone else? We don't hand any piece of paper out to random folks on a Sunday morning. You don't ever wander into church on a Sunday morning and think, gee, I wonder if they're going to ask me to preach next week. I mean, I could if you want me to. We can work on that. So instead, what we have to do is each and every one of us have to hear, where is the voice of God calling me? How is the voice of God calling me? Is God calling me to use my skills, my gifts, my abilities, something I already have the ability to do? And if the answer is yes, and if you've already heard that call and you are following it, well, then you already know you're blessed. You've already felt it. You've already experienced it. You already know what God is doing in your midst. Maybe you've heard a call to do something, and you say to God, I think you got the wrong person for that one. I can't possibly imagine how I'm going to get that one accomplished. By the way, we read today about the prophet Jonah. There's a perfect example of somebody God called to do a ministry, and Jonah was like, nope, not me. I'm no good at that one. He eventually came around, but he had to be called a couple of times. So I say to you all, you are a priest. You are called. It's not a question of am I or should I or would I be. You are. God has called you to a ministry. Think and pray. Think and pray deeply about what that ministry is. For some of us, we can just go to work on a Monday morning and do our job to the glory of God, and that's the ministry that God set out for us. Some of us, it finds itself in other places. But understand this. God has a purpose for your life. God has a purpose for your existence. There is no member of the kingdom of God left out of his purpose. No member of the kingdom of God left out of his ministry. There is none of us left alone. We are gathered together. So I say to the people out there in the world that are studying how to live to be 100, good job. Keep doing that. That might be a ministry unto itself. I don't know. But thanks for reminding us of what we should already know. That those of us who live in community, gathered together to be upbuilt, to be strengthened, to be comforted, to be a part of a community, and to, yes, be called to purpose, are already living blessed lives. And those blessed lives are wonderful lives. And apparently, scientists are willing to admit, long lives. So I say to you all, may you live long. May you minister well. May you enjoy the company of your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, and have purpose. Amen.